It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. America's financial system is at a delicate moment right now, with the Federal Reserve poised to raise interest rates again next week. Lingering inflationary pressures and a volatile stock market. Sure, a lot of this has to do with the fact we're recovering from a pandemic, but could we actually be doing better?
Despite all the issues we've got, you know, going on, and you mentioned a myriad of different things, all we really need to do is get the government out of the way. Yeah, you know, and we've had really, for a long time, we've had below average type growth, GDP growth here in the United States.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday was another tough one on Wall Street. At the close, the Dow was down 281 points, S&P 500 down 27. The Nasdaq did squeak out a 6-point gain. It was a promising start to the year, actually, for the stock market, but things have taken a downturn and making things even more complicated. Recent bank failures, which have a lot of people worried about which way our economy is going, because nobody wants to see a repeat of 2008.
Well, I guess it depends on what day the calendar we're looking at.
Right.
It was last Wednesday. It was like, oh boy, the Fed's going to be, you know, raising rates higher for longer. And this week it's like, oh my God, is it 2008 all over again?
Today we're speaking with a watchdog on Wall Street, Chris Markowski, a financial expert. He's president of Markowski Investments and host of the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast.
So, you know, different things that are basically bouncing the market around, and the markets don't like uncertainty by any stretch of the imagination. And what happened over the course of the weekend, again, echoing in some people's memories about what happened back in 2008, 2009. It's a very, very different type of situation.
Yeah, but let's compare those two situations here, because we've had major bank failures here, and we have the federal government step in real quickly saying, oh no, this is not 2008. But President Biden also said they were going to guarantee deposits here at Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of Republicans have been critical of the president, saying he's giving the bank a bailout. Do you see any similarities to financial institutions that fell in 2008 and the government bailing them out, and what has happened recently here?
Well, a bad investment is a bad investment.
Right.
People going out there and saying, well, at least it wasn't, you know, crappy mortgage-backed securities. Doesn't make any difference. A loss is a loss. If you got dumb bankers out there that decided to go long duration treasuries when interest rates were 1.5% and not sell those things when the Fed was like, yo, we're raising rates. Again, I don't know where these guys got their banking degree. I don't want to date myself, but Cracker Jack Box comes to mind, because it makes no sense to me whatsoever. There was not a bailout for the bank. The stock went to zero. The bondholders are getting wiped out. What they did was they stepped in, and this has happened before, and they said, hey, listen, any of the depositors' money, we're going to cover that. Now, again, the nuance in regards to this is that the administration is presenting this as, oh, they're helping out, you know, the guys that are, you know, cleaning the offices and mowing the lawns. No, 90% of the money at Silicon Valley Bank was above the $250,000 FDIC threshold. Okay, so these were massive accounts. I've had a bit of a change of heart over the past, you know, thinking about it over the past several weeks. You know what kind of did it? Because I remembered back to 2008 when the senator from New York there, Chuck Schumer, decided to put out some nasty news on IndyMac Bank and caused a bank run. And I thought about it a little bit. I said, in today's day and age, because of social media and the way that things work today, it's almost as if you wanted to start a bank run, it wouldn't be a difficult thing to do. You go back to like Ben Franklin, you know, lie makes its way halfway around the world before the truth gets out the front door. Well, lie can make its way millions of times, as we all know, around the globe before the truth gets out the front door. We may get to a point in time right now where we just might say, hey, All the banks are going to have to chip in more. It's obviously going to make our fees go up and protect depositors because, you know, how are we going to handle these situations? It's almost like a national security concern. You talk about all these computers and hacking. You know, what if some rogue, you know, Russian outfit decides to put all this misinformation out there and cause a run on a bank?
Yeah, absolutely. A big concern there. If you regulate the banks more, obviously the banks are going to put those fees down to the consumers, and obviously not great for consumers. But how much of bank regulations do you really think played into the failure of Silicon Valley Bank? I mean, were the restrictions too loose in your opinion, or do we need more?
Since 2000, again, I was totally against what happened. This happened during the Clinton administration, but it was both Republicans and Democrats that got together and decided to repeal Glass-Steagall, which was Depression era legislation that kept commercial banking and investment banking separate. They allowed that to come together. What have we had since then? Think about all the calamities we've had since that point in time. We've had Sarbanes-Oxley, we've had Dodd-Frank, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of regulations. Has it stopped anything? No. You know, George Carlin had this bit that he did years ago. He said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. Well, you know, this Silicon Valley Bank, right next to the San Francisco Fed, they had members of their bank sitting on the San Francisco Fed. In the same way that Bernie Madoff made great contributions to certain members of Congress to keep the SEC off their back. I mean, this is just unfortunately how the world works. Anybody who took a look with half a brain and took a look at Silicon Valley's books and the type of risk that they piled on by putting those long duration treasuries into their portfolio should have known that there was a problem. But what's interesting, you know, and I don't know where this person is. I would think they'd try to find her and put a microphone in front of her. Their head risk assessor left last April. I don't know where she is. She must be in Tahiti somewhere because they can't find her, but they never replaced her.
Right. We saw a number of executives sell off stock also in February. And obviously, this bank just failed here in March. So a big question there, too. Now that the Biden administration and specifically the Justice Department says they want to look deeper into Silicon Valley Bank, what can they really do post-bank failure? Do you see prosecution coming?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, stupidity, is stupidity illegal?
I don't think you go to jail for being stupid.
I mean, it's difficult to do. You know, I get a kick out of this. Oh, you know, we got the Justice Department. We got the SEC looking into it. And I say this all the time. I've been doing my program for over 20 years, and we've been going after financial scams, frauds, and trying to alert people. I alert people. The SEC and all these agencies, they come in after the fact. They're like CSI. After the damage has been done, they come in and then they investigate the entire thing. I mean, how does that help after everybody's already lost their shirts? It doesn't make much sense. They're not the cop on the beat. And that's part of the problem, you know, to some degree. You know, people think with all of this regulation that has come down the pike, and you think of Dodd-Frank, oh, banks must be safe now. Barney Frank said so. Meanwhile, Barney Frank is sitting on the board of Signature Bank, who just went under as well. So who do you believe here? I mean, you got to have confidence in something. And again, I wouldn't put my confidence in the regulators.
It's a tough economy out there right now. For Americans who are trying to navigate this post-pandemic world with less money in their pockets, more expensive items they need to buy, and investment accounts which look rather lackluster as of late. So what gives? We're talking about it today with a watchdog of Wall Street, Chris Markowski, financial expert, president of Markowski Investments, and host of the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast. We'll have more of his economic takes coming your way after we take a short break to pay some of our bills. Chris, I've been watching Wall Street this year. Started good, pretty optimistic there in January, but since then, things have not gone great. And a lot of this is due to inflation and the Federal Reserve's goal here to try and reduce inflation. We've seen a number of interest rate hikes over the past year plus. We're expecting another one, possibly 25 percentage points coming up next week when the Federal Reserve gets together. They'll make that announcement on Wednesday. But Chris, it seems like to me, the Fed is increasing rates more and more, but inflation isn't really going anywhere. How much is it going to take to finally get this inflation under control and get to that 2% goal the Fed wants to see?
Well, you know, the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, the tagline underneath the Federal Reserve should be breaking stuff since 1913, because that's basically what they do, is they just break things. And that's what you have. When you're a hammer, everything, the entire world looks like a nail. I don't believe we have much of a demand problem right now. We have a supply problem. Now, you know, you take a look, oil prices came down a ton today and they've been coming down. That's been great. But when you take a look at other aspects of inflation that are embedded, and these are the things that affect people's everyday lives. Just look at eggs, for instance, and see how much more expensive they are year over year, and all of the things that eggs go into, all the food items there. That's avian flu. You know, raising rates is not going to do anything about the avian flu. The Fed's not going to go around, start putting masks on chickens. Okay. It's going to take some time to work its way through the system. The higher rates are definitely starting to hit the housing market, and that's going to start coming down. We've already starting to see some of the lagging effects of what's going on. The problem is the speed of these rate increases. I have no problem where rates are. I really don't. I don't think that these rates are high. I think they're normal. And in my business, it's actually beneficial because I can actually get a return on my cash and cash equivalents, where for decades I was getting nothing. So it's actually good for a lot of people that have to keep money in cash and cash equivalents. Retirees, you know, if you're a retiree, you don't want to be selling stock at the end of every month to pay your bills. You want to have a certain amount of money in cash. So that's actually a good thing. It was the speed that this actually took place. I think if we could get some sort of honest direction about what's going to happen next, I think that would be very beneficial to the overall economy. And hopefully by the end of this year into next year, we can move forward.
Right. So there is some optimism there. There's a number of factors, though, that look kind of gloomy right now. We've discussed a bunch of these throughout the day, with the stock market down, interest rates up, credit card debt in the United States at an all-time high right now. It's actually very high among younger people, younger borrowers. The New York Fed says people in their 20s and 30s are falling behind on their credit card payments by 90 days or more. You've got inflation, the cost of living very high. Out of all these economic factors, maybe even things I haven't mentioned, what scares you the most as we go forward here in 2023?
Oh, that's a good question. Right now, we want to get through this banking situation here, because that gets out of control, which I don't think it's going to. The more I'm looking into this, there's about $600 billion plus in underwater paper here in the United States. Europe, however, is a different situation because they had negative interest rates for an extended period of time. I think that's a problematic because, again, despite all the issues we've got, going on, and you mentioned a myriad of different things, all we really need to do is get the government out of the way. You know, and we've had really, for a long time, we've had below average type growth, GDP growth here in the United States. What scares me the most is the things that happen out of Washington. I mean, I take a look at Biden's ridiculous budget and his nonsensical tax increases that are unconstitutional. And that bothers me. It bothers me the fact that I can't get these parties to come together and actually admit that, gee whiz, we got an entitlement problem. It's not going to go away pretending that it's not there. And you're going to actually at some point in time have to compromise and deal with this. So again, maybe I guess what bothers me the most, and I think, probably I'm not the only one out there, is the old Cathedral of Unintended Consequences, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
It does happen, though. We still do have to deal with them. They're not going away anytime soon. And now they're away. The Watchdog on Wall Street, Chris Markowski, president of Markowski Investments. Where can we find your podcast, Chris?
Simple. Just go to my website, watchdogonwallstreet.com. Go there, all of my columns and all sorts of great stuff.
Looking forward to checking it out. And thank you for taking some time to speak with us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.